Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? We are back. Whiskey and Wires, hanging out with the dudes today.
Not so much whiskey today, though.
No, I feel like this episode's going to be a little bit more coffee and conspiracy, I think.
Ooh. We're talking about a new 2024. That's actually a really good one. If you really want to get coffee and conspiracy. Oh, man. It is February something, early February. And that's relevant because today we're going to be chatting over some current event stuff just because there's lots of crazy shit going on. And it is in the morning, which we didn't feel that we should probably do some tasting. So we're just on coffee.
Just coffee. No Kahlua.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. So we won't drink in your ear.
Right. Though to prepare myself for this, to make it more authentic, I did not have any coffee prior to this. So I at least am still kicking into gear. And yeah.
So you're going to talk at a regular pace because usually in the evening it's like talking to Mike at a medium pace.
Noted.
I hope somebody gets that. I do. Okay. So, so in the beginning we were chatting over just ideas, there seems to be just an absolute metric shit ton of hacks, data breaches, theft. I woke up to, what was the one I recently saw?
The 23andMe?
23andMe. Yeah. But no. There was another one. No. Hold on a second. I will find it. I want to say it was, they had a data breach. They took all their information. Was it one in loans? It was either loans or TV. Like a streaming service. Like,
I think it was a loan company.
I think it was a loan company. I mean, you guys probably get those notifications all the time.
Yeah. So with us, we get notifications based on what our clients use.
Yeah.
Within that space, luckily, we have very few that are under those regulations or use those services. A lot of ours are more retail and service providers more than the, you know, financial space. So a lot of times when big breaches like that happen, it's concerning, it's widespread, it affects everyone. But as far as actual fallout for our clients, it's usually few and far between. A lot of what we need to look for specifically in our space is the more targeted attacks. That being said, the big ones, the 23andMe, the one that just recently happened that you're talking about, even going back to like the huge Equifax one back in 2017, there are definitely widespread ramifications of it, but it's more of just a reminder that we need to be on top of our game when it comes to patching and making sure everything's secure.
Loan Depot. That's what it was.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one. 16 something million personal information stolen.
Do you know the scope of that information? If they got the whole trifecta or if it was just pieces of it?
What's the trifecta?
Well, we can talk about that.
Am I wrong?
I think trifecta might be the wrong term, but there's a certain amount of information, like with the Equifax breach back in 2017, that was why it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Was because they got all of the information, not just pieces of it. They got the name, the social, they got the credit numbers. They got pretty much everything that they needed in order to take that profile and apply for credit and validate it.
Yeah.
Whereas other breaches have been, hey, they know my name and social, but they don't have my verification numbers. They don't have, you know, the other parts of
everything.
It.
See, that's why I have all my stuff like locked down and basically frozen on purpose. It's kind of a pain when you're trying to apply for credit,
right?
To do something, but
yeah,
the benefits outweigh that, you know.
Well, yeah. There's definitely that aspect to it. There's also the aspect to it that made the. Sorry to jump immediately into Equifax. It was just heavy on my mind today.
But there's so much information in that. Oh, that's what's actually
And part of why we're talking about coffee and conspiracy is we can talk about what that information's going to nowadays.
Right.
Because
that was my question. Like, what are they actually doing with it?
Well, when it happened, people expected the worst. It was quoted as the worst breach to ever happen in history.
Really?
It was quoted as the absolute worst case scenario. Because when they got in there, they got in through a patch that should have been patched, but wasn't.
Yeah.
Equifax has had a lot of backlash since then about how it was completely preventable.
That's what they're saying? Yeah. It should never have happened?
It was completely preventable. There was a patch. It was a known issue that they did not fix.
Yeah.
And I think that breach began in May and they found it in June. there was a long time period where these folks were in there grabbing all this data
and then just harvesting it.
Yeah. And then just got out with it. And so
wait, what's a patch for those that don't know?
So a program, when it's made, it is not perfect. There are vulnerabilities, there are weaknesses. When it gets put out in use, these weaknesses can be exploited to break in, get data, et cetera.
Yeah.
When these vulnerabilities are discovered, or when there's new technologies, new threats that can exploit a previous thing that didn't exist before, a patch goes out there and basically covers up that vulnerability, fixes it.
Is that like when a new release, like an app or whatever happens?
When you go from version 1 to version 1.1, you know, that sort of thing.
They're seeing holes in patching it. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like in this case, it's like quite literally a patch.
Like a rubber tire.
There's no accident there. There's a stand. It's literally patching
it up. Okay. Gotcha.
So these guys were able to use a very small vulnerability, get into the system, use a different vulnerability, another known one, and elevate themselves, create an admin account, and then go from there. The worst vulnerabilities are the ones that allow you in a system to elevate your privileges.
So that's what happened?
Yeah, they elevated their privileges, they got full rights, and then just started harvesting.
Why don't they give them that? That doesn't make any sense.
No, so they weren't given those rights. They got in through vulnerability, so they got into the system.
Yeah.
Then they used a set. Usually when these big breaches happen, it's not just one vulnerability. It's a chain of weaknesses.
Okay,
you have a break-in point, and then you scan for more vulnerabilities. And eventually, if you exploit it enough, you might get somewhere with it. These guys got lucky, and Equifax was not on top of their game. They were not patched. They were not secure.
Is Equifax a public company?
Yeah, I believe so.
That
would have been a fine.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
We can talk about the fallout because you would be surprised how little they got hit with it.
Oh,
and we can talk about why as well.
As far as a fine.
Yeah. So just to answer that question while we are on it, it looks as though they spent about $1.5 billion on cleanup costs.
Jeez.
They had a lawsuit of about $1.38 billion, and that was it.
Who sued them? I didn't know if that was a class action. I didn't get anything.
I think it was a class action. Everyone who was impacted, which you had to have proof that you were actually impacted by it, not just that your data was stolen. Because if you were going with just whose data was stolen, about half of the American population's entire data was stolen.
So you had to prove you were dead.
That was a question I saw. It was like 16 something million. So we figure how many people in the United States? 350 million?
I think that was for complete profiles.
400 million, probably not. I'm going off of like the last friggin' voting. Like this dude got 32, this one got 32, or what was it? No, half of.
It's usually like 130 million per like side. So like.
Oh yeah, it was way more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of weird things with it too. Like Equifax knew that it happened. They didn't announce that it happened until a month after it happened, during which time several of their C-level executives sold all their stock.
Because they knew.
And some of them were tried for insider trading and stuff like that. It was pretty bad.
I'm just thinking like this homeboy going to work and sits down, has a cup of coffee, sits down and fires up his computer, whoever's in charge of stuff, it goes, oh shit, it's going to be a bad day. Like, did they get notified? Like, how do they know? How do you find that out?
Well, I'm not sure how they actually found that they were being exploited. There are always signs, there are always trails that your data is being siphoned. Most likely, because their IT, their security team, which they had boasted about previously, did not have everything in place. Right, right.
Kind of like holding my teeth.
And so, odds are, one of the guys discovered it, they kicked the guys out, patched it, and started to do damage analysis. As it went up the chain, like, hey, we just lost data on approximately 49% of the American population to an unknown entity. What do we do? And the C-levels are like, let's do a damage analysis, cash in, cash in, cash in. Okay, now we can tell folks. And through the process, because it was such a big deal, it was heavily investigated and a lot of things came to light.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing was that happened in 2017, and it was expected to have major fallout. It was, there were some folks who were saying this is going to crash the entire credit system because no one will be able to be trustworthy anymore.
Yeah,
there are other people who said we just need to keep an eye on the dark web, look for mass dumping of this information for sale, and then we can trace it back to the perpetrators. That
sounds easier than it probably is.
Well, the interesting thing is that never happened. That data never became well known in mass.
So hold on, put a pin in that.
Yeah, yeah.
What did they take? So I obviously, we all have a credit report, right?
Yep.
So you know, we've applied for things. First name, last name, social.
Names, addresses, dates of birth, social security, driver's license numbers.
And then all of your credit history. So you would see...
Complete profile.
Target red card.
Right.
Of everything, yeah. Your account number. So now you can go and verify, because don't they have... Yeah, I'm just thinking, like,
yeah.
You call in and
how do you verify? With the last four of your social, your name, your address,
what's your date of birth?
Exactly. And they have all of that. The only thing that they don't have is security questions, which you can circumvent with successful social security numbers.
And some places even do, like, Wells Fargo and, like, other banks, they have to record your voice. So you have to give a stamp.
Yeah, things like that get around it. So they were expecting...
Which is a pain in the ass, but I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, they were expecting mass fallout from it. They were expecting the spike in stolen identities and stolen credit to just go up.
Oh my gosh.
Couple 100%, right? But it didn't.
So what happened?
They watched for a couple years and those lists never went on the dark web. It never became public. It never seemed to get bought or sold.
There was
never a spike, which led them to believe and investigate. And then I say confirm a little bit tongue in cheek, but at least let me see what the official, they announced report. Charges against Chinese military backed hackers.
Oh, dun dun.
So, and again, that kind of goes into the differences between high profile breaches like this,
yeah,
and just straight up data theft, because now you're turning the corner from data theft into espionage,
right?
Where a known enemy of the country, China, is harvesting data at massive quantities of Americans.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of speculation as to what they're actually doing with it.
Oh, and they're understanding the American consumer, you know.
Well, it is no secret that they've been harvesting data from Americans. No secret.
What do they do with it?
I can tell you.
Yeah, go.
So here's the thing.
You're gonna give me
as much as we are investing and experimenting with AI.
Yeah,
they are doing the same with government backed projects. They are advancing their.
I did hear about that.
They're advancing their facial recognition and citizen profiling. On a massive extent, they are getting to
like the social.
Yeah, they're getting to a point.
Or something.
They're getting to a point where they can have a camera on the corner and see a guy walk by, and everything about them will filter down.
Dude, that's a movie. What movie?
Between these data hacks, TikTok, all the other things that we're using that is just harvesting data from us, they can do that to the Americans as well. They can look at you, Tyler, and say, "This is Tyler."
Now they're gonna know,
and they can know they can know your spending habits. Mm-hmm. They can know how much debt you're in. Mm-hmm. They can know if you have any vices that they can exploit. They can know if you've ever been a part of the military, if you have a likelihood to be a spy, if you ever show up in China. Suddenly all of our human intelligence assets that are abroad can be shown up, exploited just like that, just because they have a history that they know.
I don't know about you, but that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrified. Usually you think of hacks and they go, they stole my information and they're going to go down to the nearest friggin' Target or Walmart and grab TV. So those are people that are swiping card.
This is your personal other information. Level. That is just using your information for personal gain.
When did they come back and get
this? This is complete profiling. This is a log of who is on this planet, and we can identify them to a T.
Is there anything that we can? Can I go to like some site and look at my information and go, "Yup, it was"?
There's
taken. Like, how would I know
if it's for the Equifax thing? There is a website. Let me see.
You can go and do it. Oh my god!
And you can see if your data was taken. It's not, it's
about like,
there is also dark web monitoring, but again, the Chinese takers never pushed it out to the dark web. It was being checked. They took it, they fed it into their own big data programs and are currently using it. And with the way that big data is going, they have that data even if they can't use it completely efficiently, in 20 years, there will be technology and uses of data that we can't even fathom now, and they will still have all of our information to use.
Well, that was still, was it ever confirmed about 23andMe? Was it the same?
I do not know about 23andMe. I believe last I checked on it was confirmed to not be. It was the work of a private individual who is selling information with more of a, for lack of a better term, fairly racist drive, specifically selling information about certain types of the Jewish community and stuff like that.
Yes, I did read that. Sorry.
And it gets complicated because whenever you see data stolen, it can be used for so many different things. Yeah. Even if it's currently being used for one thing, doesn't mean that it won't also be used for another.
Sure. Right? Well, especially if you sell it for one. I was thinking like, all right, fast forward 20 years, now they've got DNA.
They do though. And that's the scary thing is if we're talking about big data and the uses for it and how that's ever changing, evolving out as AI does.
You could clone the humans. All of them. They're all going to get, we're all going to get the same. Imagine walking around and there's four Adrians.
Well, that's not a bad thing. I quite like that idea.
And then take out the smart parts and put in dumb parts and just mess with everybody.
Can you imagine having a conversation with three other, like, yous?
Yous? All in various intelligent or, like, or ages.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be a trippy-ass movie. All right, Netflix, if you get a hold of this, there's your plotline. Data gets stolen by DNA company, and now
that's a cool twist on the immortality trope. Instead of you never aging, you just get a clone that's younger than you and try to pass down all your knowledge.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Imagine talking to the 20 and then the teens and then the tens and then a toddler.
He'd crush that. Well, it's Tom Hanks. He'd crush anything.
Dude. Yeah, it's 100%. There you go. Make that one. That'd be trippy. That'd be like not Inception. What was the one I did? Oh, it starts with a P. Oh, Prometheus. It was just on there about time travel.
Oh, not Interstellar. I was thinking Interstellar.
No,
that's not the one.
It was on Netflix, I think, or Amazon Prime. No, it was on Prime. I don't know, whatever it was. Anyway, that's crazy. So same thing now with the banking, because that is going to have all your information. So now you've got pay history. So the whole Loan Depot.
Oh, the fact that Equifax got hit so hard because, again, and I've said this before and I'll say it again probably countless times during my career, technology is advancing at a rate where the compliancy measures, the bureaucracy that dictates what needs to be in place for security cannot keep up. It is up to security professionals to know the trends and keep it in place.
Right.
And so if you hire security professionals in a place that either don't have the resources they need and aren't able to convince you to give it to them or are not on top of it, like I'm assuming it was with Equifax, the actual effort was not put into it, either because they didn't have the resources or they didn't want to. Either way, doesn't really matter. When you're in that position, you will get hit and there's really no backlash recourse, because if you look,
you're always on the defensive because you're never gonna know. I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of whoever wants it bad enough, right? So if somebody wants to hack you, they'll get you.
Well, at least like in you know, in terms of countries, right, hacking another country, we do the same thing.
Do we?
Well,
all the time. Well, yeah,
we do the same
thing. Yeah, that is true.
There is a distinct difference. As someone who, you know, was in the intelligence gathering community at one time, there is a distinct difference between the intelligence that America gathers and the use cases for it and the intelligence that some of our enemies gather. Our enemies gather information specifically for the categorization and understanding completely for the infiltration, the exploitation of other countries. We've seen this in China for years. Mm-hmm. They've always had that motto of, we'll sell them the rope that they hang on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our intelligence is, you know, I don't think anyone will tell you that the American government is altruistic and for the best good of the global market and everything like that, but
you spy on the other.
There are many more rules, regulations, and structures in place for our intelligence gathering than there are for, say, China. The ethics are completely different. The goals play a different. And when you deal with an enemy whose ethics do not line up with yours,
it
becomes a very scary thing.
Read the 100-Year War.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gnarly.
You know what? I mean, how's the U.S. win against that?
That's a great question. Counterintelligence is, that's their whole thing, is trying to figure out how to counteract the enemy's intelligence efforts.
Which would actually, okay, so as you guys are talking, I'm thinking, so if China then, you know, government-wise goes and takes the facial recognition and then they have over here, you could spot somebody who was a spy a lot faster. No, and, it makes sense why they would do
that. That's something that is very scary for the intelligence community, is there are folks who are already, because we have, there's spies. Espionage is still very real today. We have undercover agents that go in to collect data, things like that. That's just a well-known thing. The identities of these folks are not well-known. But if you have John Baker, who currently lives in Wukong, has lived there for 20 years, was born in America, joined the military shortly after, got a new name, new identity, but still has those historical markers, and you run both profiles through a big data algorithm, there is, the more data you have on either of those profiles, the more likely it is to make those connections and say, hey, this guy on the street, he has a high probability of being connected to the American government. Let's arrest him.
And just see.
And so there is a fear of, if they can accurately and effectively profile human assets.
We've touched on it before. How do they go and do it? Because I just, like, how do you go and attack a company that, like, that's huge? It's a huge company. Like, what are they, how did they, get in? Like, Chinese military.
It just takes one vulnerability. You get four guys in a room, that's their job.
And they're just trying to poke a hole in their website. That's it. That's their, it's the web.
It's any number of things. They can drive by the buildings.
No, that's a dumb thing. I know. No. It's not. It's the web. But, like, it's their website. There's no anywhere else that they're trying to get in.
No, they can get in. There's vulnerabilities in a lot of things. They can have people in cars outside seeing if there's an open Wi-Fi system that has vulnerabilities. They can have guys who drop off flash drives in the parking lot, see if anyone plugs them in and puts in a malware.
Oh, so it's physical.
Yeah, there's
the time. It's like not even things you would. Okay, so I was at an event and there was an FBI.
Yeah.
Were you there, Ethan, or was that?
No, no.
Was that? There was an FBI guy in basically in cyber security. And he was speaking, and he was at a hotel doing a big event, and it's in reputable name. I forgot if there was a...
Starts on the H and runs with name,
but he hinted heavily towards it, But essentially, we know before he went to the conference, he was in his room, and he had one of those really fancy refrigerators that auto-counts.
You
can pay
for
your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was a LAN. There was a cat cable, and there was a port. So he checked, well, is this port, like, secure? So he plugged it in, and he was able to infiltrate and get into the systems. This went in very standard hacking, you know, scripts or programs or algorithms or whatever it's called.
And so, you know how to have those desks. So he just got it.
And he locked people out of their own stuff before the event. And it was really embarrassing for the hotel.
Because he exposed.
Literally exposed, you know. He goes, well, I mean.
So if he was a bad guy, he could have told.
Imagine someone randomly visiting from China or somewhere else.
I think that happened to Hilton back in 2015, also China.
Yeah.
You know.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
Can't confirm.
Again, it's one of those things that forensics tie it back to Chinese military operatives. That being said, China denies everything.
Do a Google.
I mean,
God,
Do
you do this?
Yeah.
No.
And the actual power to prosecute is limited, right? When it comes to those sorts of things, we can say, hey, all signs point to you. And they're like, no, it doesn't. And that's it.
Because how do you prove it? They're not even playing the same game.
It's one of those things that if it's a military operation, we can say, hey, that's wrong. And they're like, hey, fight us about it. But it's not like they're within American jurisdiction.
Sure. Unless, I guess so. Curious, what does a 16 million user list go for on the dark web? Like, how much would you sell that for?
You're going to get me in trouble. I'm gonna Google it and get on a list somewhere.
But let's go on our Wi-Fi. And
So what type of data? Because we can figure out how much each piece of data is worth.
Personal and account history. And was that shopping history, I guess, would you say? Purchase history.
So we'll do credit and account history data worth.
Yeah. Because I'm just like curious. I'm thinking of all these guys who would take some and then they sell it, right? Like, what? At what point does the return not even worth it? You want to do some nasty stuff. It's not a money play. Because okay. If there's an exchange of money, wouldn't you then catch me? I know there's like, I've seen enough movies that could be, you know, you run them through five different whatever.
Okay. So generally, and again, it changes depending on who's buying it, how complete the information. Data as it's collected by these places, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, all those, it's generally thought of as about $10 per annum for the average person for a complete profile.
Per annum, meaning in total.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, hold on.
But let me see if there's something that's more recent as far as dark web sales.
So 16 million times, you said $10?
Yep.
I'm not doing math today.
160 million, right?
Damn! So that's what they would have to pay back?
Let's see.
So that's what they would get?
That's a payday. That's what the raw data is worth. We're not talking about profit or sales or anything like that.
Oh.
If a criminal wants to get, and this again, this changes if you're buying one, this changes if you're buying bulk, right? Usually bulk is like a quarter or less if you're buying thousands of names.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to buy one person's identity, get a full profile of one person, it's about $1,000.
So someone sits on this, they have connections, someone calls them up and goes like an ex, right? Or a spouse or whatever. Hey, give me everything on Sally Smith. Right. Boom, here's $1,000. They go, yep, here's everything going back to when Sally was 17 years old. She's 45 now.
Yep.
Damn. And they're just sitting on.
And if they have it, they can say, hey, for an extra $100, we can give you your banker logins. For an extra $25, we can give you your Facebook logins. Things like that. It just keeps on going.
That's a legit mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you hear, I always hear like these big names, but that doesn't mean, and we've talked about, I forget what episode it was. We were talking about more like systems to protect it, not actually the guts of why and how, but where obviously a smaller company could be taken out, right?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
It's probably easier. The smaller you get, the more bonehead.
There's definitely aspects to it that, you know, small company, there's the juxtaposition of small companies. There's their smaller profile, so they're less likely to be directly targeted.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get hit with a strong vulnerability, it's hurts them more, right?
Because they're not going to come back and be like, I don't have $150 million to pay for
this. Yeah, things like crypto, right? When you get crypto virus or you kind of get all your data locked out. I mean, that could destroy you as a small business if you don't get
in. I would also like to point out, as much as we talk about compliancy, HIPAA, everything like that, which are important, I think that in today's market, they are absolutely essential and we should have more compliancy regulations. That's my personal take. Don't at me.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, within the financial space, there's actually surprisingly little, which is why Equifax, when they got hit, kind of got away scot-free in a loose sense. If it was any other company, if there was more allegations, they might have been shut down. You know, what happened was, and I can't stress it enough, a catastrophic loss of data. It was the worst.
Good word for it.
It was the worst case scenario for data loss. We lost all of the data for almost half of all Americans. It was catastrophic.
What is going to happen? You're talking about, because if it was China and they confirmed it, they're not, they haven't sold it.
They're just sitting on and using that data.
Then they're building profiles.
Yeah.
That's what
the initial assumption is. They're just using that to profile Americans and continue building.
What if they're using that to create like sniper cells? Basically create an identity. I mean, create shopping habits.
You can take the American averages and build pretty strong profiles as to what's expected within a civilian.
So when I was doing loans, this is why it's applicable, is you'd get people, like you'd run a credit report, right? And then somehow, some way, you'd do it on a, you know, first time home buyer, maybe a second. Yeah. You'd be like, okay, cool. Tell us about this. Oh, you're going to pay this off. Oh, it looks like you got a property in Florida. They're like, I'm 23. Like, this is my first home. I don't. Oh no, you have a property, you got two condos. Like they would actually, people would come and do it. And then the fight that you have to prove who's right.
Yeah.
We've been in, so I've lost multiple deals like that just because I'm like, I don't know how to help you. You have to go fight that fight first.
Yeah.
I wonder if all of this like happens. So as a retail consumer, right?
And that's a great example of just an identity being stolen, a blank, fresh, or good credit score being used unknowingly to open a line of credit for someone else.
Right? Well, that's going to be like taking, if you were to go, imagine a hospital and all of a sudden, like in 2024 or 23, I'm sorry, a million people were born, right? So you're going to have new, fresh socials.
Yeah.
That's what they're taking at.
Yeah. One of the interesting things is that if you look online at data security regulations, especially for consumer reporting agencies and things mm-hmm. like that, you can see that there are a few that are regularly quoted. There's, you know, Gramm-Leach-Billy Act, there's FTC Acts, there's state requirements, enforcements, things like that. But if you dig just a little bit deeper and go to the Federal Trade Commission, mm-hmm. where they have the information on all these bills, all these regulations, and you can actually look at dates signed and things like that. For financial services, there's really only a handful that are actually enforced. The main one is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, mm-hmm. OOC, Banking Organizations Regulation. There's a few others that are next to it, but that came in 2022. And then there were a few that were in place as just kind of loose regulation before that. The other ones that are regularly cited, such as the Federal Trade Commission, non-banking financial institutions under the Gramm-Leach-Bailey Act, mm-hmm. The CFTC, the NCUA, all these different ones are not enforced. They are proposed. And a lot of them have been sitting in the proposed status for years, since 2015, 2017, 2010, respectively.
And now we're dealing with Texas border, so that's going to sit on a desk somewhere.
And it goes to show that point that any of these, if they were in place, the Equifax backlash would have been handled very differently, because there's would actually be regulations. Hey, you mess this up, you pay the price to help fix this. Mm.
So
there's nothing.
It's crazy going back to the normal individual, you know, everyday American, retail, whatever you want to call them. Like, what do they do? Because I know you guys don't deal with that, right? It's businesses and stuff like that. But for me, and, you know, like I said, the everyday person, how the hell do you get, you just don't have any credit. Nobody's online. Get rid of all your stuff, only in cash.
So the biggest thing is if it depends on if we're talking to the consumer or if we're talking to the business.
No, consumer. I'm just saying consumer.
Be careful.
I know, because Equifax, that's
a big deal.
Everybody getting a car loan.
It's one of those things, tongue in cheek. I hope you were young when that happened, so you have fresh credit now. But in reality, make sure that you're aware of who you're giving your data to. In America, it's a little bit different than like some of the European states and stuff like that. They do not need to ask. It is not an opt-in for taking your data. It is an opt-out. So when you go on websites that you know you're giving your information to, your banking website, things like that, you can usually opt out of them storing your data in that repository. If you go to a store online, you can opt out of them saving your data.
Yeah. Who knows if they actually do it? I find myself not going to websites and paying online. I don't care if they seem reputable. I'm like, does Amazon carry it? Because more than likely they're going to be, you know, whatever.
Right. And which is the scary thing of the world is obviously leaning more and more towards that. That mm-hmm. is where we are headed. That is where it's going. The digital payment front is becoming more and more of a thing. And so credit is becoming more and more applicable, which means that information is becoming more and more valuable and more vulnerable.
I recently had to get on a bank or something like that. And I had about 5 charges that I was asking my wife. Like, what was this? She goes, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. It turns out it was... We got hacked or somebody took the card or whatever. I don't know. It could have been a restaurant. It could have been something online. And so I'm like, dude, screw it.
Dude, at least this is still financial. Not to get too out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to. Oh. But, you know, there's a proposed credit score that would basically drive your social status.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so terrible. Imagine that. Please, no.
You can literally, like, imagine yourself getting investigated because someone decided to mess around with your score.
Yep. Yep. And if that could happen, does somebody take you down? So imagine now government doing that. And then all of a sudden there's like, oh, I don't like this person.
The whole thing that made at least credit work for how it's working is you know, you got the split third party verification of the Equifax, TransUnion, all that.
And Beacon, the main, the top four, right? They were like the end all be all.
And with that in mind, there's a little bit of checks and balances with it. When you have something as nebulous and as digitally minded, it's not like I have a credit score of this because of these physical things that I own. No, I have a credit score of this because these companies say that I have this credit score based on my history. Mm-hmm. When you have something as nebulous and uncontrollable as that, the idea of checks and balances and having it be verified by multiple parties that don't have the same interests in mind is incredibly important. Yeah. It's the only way you keep it pure and actually working and devoid of future corruption.
Yeah.
When you talk about social scores and things like that, that are even more nebulous than credit history, mm-hmm. if they're based on ethical properties or social properties, that becomes just
terrible. It's terrible.
It
straight up.
The need of actual rules, regulations, very transparent reasoning for it is essential. Otherwise, it just risks breaking down completely.
Wouldn't take much to take me down, because I know when I get past this.
Yeah, I'll be trying to
get whatever standards like me in place.
You better build yourself a big old garden.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to buy anything.
Nope.
They'll take you out. Which I mean, on that's a biblical level shit. Like that stuff we need to
get. Yeah,
that's a whole other show.
I feel like it's definitely the trend, right? We all grew up in Christian homes and everything like that. Mm. The idea that, you know, oh, this is happening. It's just like what this said.
Mark.
It happens. I feel like every few years there's something else
that
different people are. But at the same time, the idea of a, you know, one world currency, social things like that, technology is allowing for those things to actually be talked about in a serious way. And so whether it's religious or not, I think that it's going to be important that the actual issues are viewed at objectively.
I mean, did you listen to Davros or Davos?
Oh, yeah.
Are you listening to some of those people?
Say? Oh, dude. Hans, or what the frick is his name?
Yeah.
The chancellor, he wants to do the Great Reset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's scary, actually. It really is.
Kind of had like Palpatine vibes.
Yeah. Oh, dude. 100%. Yeah.
I promise with these emergency powers that you give me, yeah, I will only do good.
You know that he's been watching that when all of a sudden he looks at all the countries and goes, do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Okay, so give me a timeline. Quick, knee jerk, don't think about it. How long until that happens in America?
5 years.
20 years.
Okay. Woo. Dang, son.
Well,
that's bananas.
I think it's dependent upon political landscape.
I am much less in tune with the political landscape. And a little bit more in tune with the technological aspect.
And so you think that it's going to take that. So you're saying political, it's faster because they want to have that score to control. You're saying technology to make it so.
I don't think technology will limit it, but I think that there will be enough of a pushback on wanting to make sure that it's right, that it might be delayed a little bit. That being said, again, I'm just an IT guy from California that really has no skin in that game. So
yeah,
odds are if we're having coffee and conspiracy, there are things going on in the background that we'll never know anyway.
here's my conspiracy theory about this. Whoever is the party, the political, at least political, the political side, whoever is the party that actually implements this will be the party that has control moving forward indefinitely. Because if you control the score or the standards of the score, you could do a lot of...
Who's to say both parties aren't on the same side anyway, and just show the pendulum there to keep the American population sated as an imaginary fight?
That's a mic drop right there. Yeah. That's a mic drop.
Oof, are we sure there wasn't anything in this coffee?
Yeah.
We're getting...
Where's my foil hat?
Nah, man.
Shut off for this.
It's the lizard people. They've been controlling it all from underground the whole time.
That's so crazy. It is. It's so bananas. And I'm thinking of, obviously, as you're talking about this stuff, like I said, myself as an individual, but then like even from a business standpoint, it kind of makes you want to just not shut shit down, but to a certain degree, I watched that... the dude who I was just scrolling YouTube one night, and then it's like, so-and-so testifies against Director Ray, opening statement of the House Select Committee on the Strategic Competition between the United States and the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. Yeah, so he gets on there and he starts to lay it all out. And I was like, gosh, damn, that's scary.
There is a reason.
And I only listened to like 10 minutes of it.
Right. Well, there's, in a very realistic way, there's a reason why we have not been at war with China.
Mm-hmm.
We have had less proxy wars with China than, say, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We've had less dealings with them in a antagonistic way. And yet they are still seen as a greater, more prominent antagonist at this point, because the war they're waging, the damage they are dealing is mm-hmm. much more of a covert nature and a much more long-term risk.
It's a 100-year war. Read it. Read it. It's the slow game. Well, it's the slow game.
In a lot of ways, though, they do. They kind of own us.
Well, that's something that's interesting, too. Well, we saw a huge amount of damage that was done to the supply chain during COVID,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
There was just supply chains all around the world shut down because you can...
Everything.
A dozen different things, right?
I think a lot of them actually jumped on the bandwagon just to drive up profit.
There's the potential for that. There's definitely that conversation to be had. But since then, it's estimated about 60% of both American and European companies are trying to reshore, trying to get a lot of those supply chains back internally, which I think just personally, economically, is a great starting point. If we truly believe, if the powers that be, the people who have a lot more information than I do, truly believe that China's that big of a threat, we need to not be dependent on them.
Yeah.
Just flat out.
It makes logical sense, but we ain't dealing in logic, are we?
We're dealing in money.
That's what happens when that money spout dries up.
Yeah. I'm going to go to a different direction. I got to go find it. Yep, 100%. So when it comes back to like all this, like, do you, well, I mean, I know you guys advise clients. That's kind of a dumb thing of what you do. You just do whatever you can to make sure everything's patched up so that don't happen.
Yeah, the important thing is to, especially with an MSP, we have security professionals,
yeah,
but we have a lot of clients.
Mm-hmm.
When we get involved with folks, a lot of times we have not set up their networks from the cradle, right? We are getting mm-hmm. involved with something and being the IT professionals. So it's important to have good tools.
Yeah.
It's important to have good processes. It's good to have a good foundation. We usually, whenever we get a new client, we set them up with a certain foundational baseline for their IT. They yeah. are, I think it's NIST is what we base ours off of very loosely. It's a fairly well-rounded compliance. And we say, hey, we want to get you around here. If they need more compliance, great. We build it. If not, we at least know that they are fundamentally, foundationally secure.
Yeah.
Then we build from there.
It also usually starts with the security audit.
Yeah, yeah.
Audit in general.
Yeah, that's before Amazing. We get involved at all, because we want to know what we're dealing with before we sign any contracts, right?
You know what's interesting too, just to kind of get on that?
Yeah.
That some business owners, particularly small business owners, they may not want to comply with certain portions of the compliancy. And that's where things get a little messy, because for their convenience that they want, sometimes you have a security risk.
Yeah.
So you have to be okay with that. Which sometimes we have to do, we have to modify a contract, because we also have a standard and we have a contractual standard, what we say we're responsible for. So, you know, so it's upfront having a good, you know, conversation about what the expectation is,
yeah,
based on what their needs are.
It's very important in those opening moments when mm-hmm. when we have a new client or a new potential client to say, hey, this is what we offer you.
Mm-hmm.
These are your issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we can fix. This is what it's going to look like to you. If there is an issue, we try to fix it.
Yeah.
It's not usually this is what we can't fix. It's usually this is what you don't want us to fix, either because of cost, ease of use, etc. These are the ramifications, and this is you signing here saying that you are responsible for the fact that you don't want us to patch you up in this way.
Is there a trend line based on vertical? Meaning, like, all these things that we hear, they're obviously big companies, right? Equifax, LoanDepot,
Hilton.
Yeah. Insert name of big company.
Yeah.
They all seem to be like very high transactional information. So is there like a trend or something like that? So if you bring a client that was like e-commerce and they sold widgets, if they're over like a million customers, you're probably at risk.
It's I would say everyone's at risk. You're just at risk for a different scope. There's also the aspect, you can have 20 different companies get hit by the same thing. As soon as Equifax gets hit, it gets all the news because it's so big. That doesn't mean that it was the only one targeted. It doesn't mean that it's the only one hit as hard as it was.
That's what I mean.
It's just the one we see. So in a very real sense, there is no company that is safe just by being a company.
Right.
There are certain types of companies that are targeted more. We've seen in the past things like educational systems, hospitals, financial institutions, things like that.
That's what I mean. Is there a target, right?
Or even a DOD.
True.
Was it 2014 around there? 2012, 2014?
Which one?
When the DOD was hacked pretty bad.
I guess maybe I'm asking it wrong. Is there a way to follow what the hackers want? Like a flavor. You know what I mean?
I think it's all over the place.
Okay. All right. So it's not just like, we need hospital information. We need blood type because we need to go make clones. We don't have that with 23andMe.
Like how many more can there be? A lot.
I guess that's a good point.
Right. And every attack, every target, we do treat different targets differently, right? If someone has, say, one of our CPA firms, right? Mm-hmm. Someone attacks them. They're probably after some money. They're after some personal identifiable information of some of these companies. They want the money. So we make sure, hey, we need to make sure that your documentation is secure. We need to make sure that your money transfer systems are secure. We need to make sure that your emailing systems are encrypted and secure. Whereas if you go into the construction space where they're after money in a different way, probably more of the scamming sort, we say, hey, we need to make sure your folks are really well trained on not giving their personal information out so they don't get access to your system.
Those are my favorite. Like when they call me and they go, hey, we're so-and-so with so-and-so. We want to talk to you about this. And so I'll know that they have the correct account, whatever it is. Yeah. And they'll go, oh, hey, we just need to verify. What's your address? Tell me your social. And I'm like, you called me, knucklehead. You think I'm going to give this over? And they're like, well, we need to verify this. Click.
I
have probably clicked out of so many legit calls.
I cannot stress enough how imperative, how important, how critical the human element is when it comes to cybersecurity.
Oh.
The human element is probably the most vulnerable and the most exploited element of cybersecurity.
I don't know that the public actually knows. I think when I hear and I see those news reports that somebody found something, you know, online and that's how they got it. But to what you were saying about Equifax about the parking lot or the white, like that's human doing something.
Yeah. If, what was that? I think it was, it had to be like 20 years ago. It was one of the big ones that happened with the DOD. That's where that story comes from, is someone on base dropped a flash drive. We think that it might have been a national traveling there or something like that, visiting, dropped a flash drive. The guy was like, hey, a flash drive. Wonder what's on here. Plugged it into his Nippernet machine and
boom.
Boom. And so there's different anecdotes like that that, you know, we use to say, hey, if you don't know what this device is, don't plug it into your secure system. You know, things like that.
You almost have to tell the American public, like, hey, if you see this pill on the ground, don't eat it.
And part of the reason for that is there's a large part of the population who have lived lives that extend far outside of when these things started becoming important.
Mm.
Who really,
that's a good point.
Who really, for most of their lives, have never had to or been interested in caring about it. And now suddenly technology is at the forefront of everything and they are forced into this position.
And our kids know more than...
Right.
Our grandparents or whatever. Dude, that's absolutely bananas. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
I know you guys want me to make me want to go lock everything down, like credit reports and completely get off grid. I mean, there is an element of like people want to get off grid real life, but I imagine there's a tech side of or a company, we need to get off grid online.
And that's part of the issues that we're facing, is especially when it comes to data being stolen and stuff like that. The internet data itself is notorious for, once it's out there, it's out there. Mm. You can pull back everything that you've ever put out there, but other entities have already permeated it, right?
That's so wild. Absolutely wild, dude. I don't know. Well, there we go. I think we've covered our current events.
Yeah.
A little bit less current events. I think we got sidetracked a little bit, but it is just as it's just as relevant now as it was. And more so in a lot of ways, making sure you're secure. Every day, new vulnerabilities come out. Every day, there are new patches for different programs. Make sure that you're up to date. Make sure your IT guys are in the know. And if you ever have any questions, Shameless plug, call Intuitive Networks.
Not even a shameless plug, that's our show. Yeah, can you do a shameless plug on your own show? I guess maybe not. I don't know if you can.
I mean, it couldn't be gratuitous, right?
I guess we can be gratuitous by saying call Intuitive Networks, we're the best you're ever going to get.
That's a very true statement.
All right, you guys, we will talk later.
All right.
Bye.